Welcome to Clearing the Static. News, analysis, and discussion of developments in radio and television in the United States and Canada. Your hosts are the Radio Kid and Jake Longwell. From Clearing the Static, this is Radio News Now with the Radio Kid.
Here are the news headlines for Radio News Now for this week, the week ending June 17th, 2011. Fisher sells its stations in Great Falls. After years of trying, Fisher has officially sold its stations in Great Falls, Montana, to a company called STA Radio. STA has already taken over via an LMA, local marketing agreement. The radio stations that STA is taking over include the original Star, which STA owned from 1998 until 2000, when the stations were sold to Fisher. More information will come on this program soon. Cox is the plug on Zone. Zone in Houston, Texas, will be no more as of Monday, as it joins up with the Eagle 107.5. Cox has decided to simulcast the classic rock Eagle format on KHET 109 Rimshots Houston from the north, while 107.5 does so from the south. This is the first time 107.5 had a simulcast partner. 107.5 had a simulcast partner in 97.1, which is now Country Legends, from 1998 until 2000. Rebranding in Philadelphia, the Y-Rock XPN HD2 channel sees a rebranding as it became XPN2 this last Wednesday. Now, the Y-Rock radio station had seen its evolution from the analog WPLY at 100.3, which was owned by Radio 1. In 2005, Radio 1 ditched that format, and an online version of one was launched. This in 2006, when WXPN picked up the format and ran it on their HD2, and as of last year, they pulled the Y-Rock block from their main lineup. They kept the HD2 running as Y-Rock, but now apparently they see it fit to change the name. There's also an alternative rebranding in Columbus, Ohio, as the famed CD101, now at 102.5, rebrands as the alternative station. The website's on CD101.com. Comedy radio is coming to Norfolk, Virginia, as WTAR, owned by Bob Sinclair. His Sinclair Broadcasting flips the station from news talk to comedy. Glenn Beck will be moving to WHKT 1650, Real Talk. This is not the Sinclair Broadcasting that owns the television station. Finally, Atlanta is on a new journey. The radio station that we told you about via translator last week that relaunched, 99X, moved to 99.1, and the web domain journey979.com was discovered by Radio Insight, and that's exactly what happened. The station launched as Journey 97.9, totally 80s and 90s. The radio station will be competing against B98.5, WSB, FM, and to some extent WSTR 94.1, Star 94, and they're all 90s weekend. At this point, I'd like to bring in Jake Longwell, who is co-host of this program, to discuss this development of the new journey in Atlanta. How are you doing today, Jake?
I'm well, and it's always a pleasure to be here and to be presenting another edition of Clearing the Static. Yes, this is an interesting development. You had talked with me off air about this, and honestly, you felt that this was a very, very weak format.
It is, because it's It totally 80s and 90s, yes, but it's not the kind of totally 80s and 90s to get all that excited about. It's very AC-based. In fact, when the station launched, we here at Radio News Now were monitoring, and we also had some assistance in our monitors from Rodney Ho at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can find his blog on our website, clearingthestatic.tripod.com. From these monitors, we have written down a playlist. Now, as you will hear, this does not compare with your typical Gen X station. I'm going to read this playlist. Here is the first hour. Journey, Don't Stop Believin'. Madonna, Holiday. Michael Jackson, Rock With You. Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. Lenny Kravitz, It Ain't Over Till It's Over. Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me. Pat Benatar, Love is a Battlefield. Matchbox 20, 3 a.m. And Emotions, Obsession. Billy Idol, I wrote that wrong. White Wedding, Annie Lennox, Walking on Broken Glass. The Cars, You Might Think, Ace of Base, All She Wants, Hall & Oates, Your Kiss, TLC, Waterfall, and Was Not Was, Walk the Dinosaur. That is the first hour of Journey 97.9. Honestly, I found it to be a very boring listen.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because I think that that's an interesting mix of music. Certainly several tracks I haven't heard in quite a while. So I'm just curious, Radio Kid, what would you consider a more interesting listen? Like, what songs, for instance, would you have preferred to have heard?
Well, first of all, I'm not so sure that they're taking the station in the right direction. I mean, yes, they are competing against B98.5, so I see why they're trying to make their station kind of AC-ish in terms of a playlist. But whether or not this is really a good flanker to Q100, which is the CHR station, I have to question that. If I were them, I would have done some kind of version of Gen X, which Cumulus does not seem to be interested in doing. Either that, or I would have taken the station direct hot AC, like the Journey in Cincinnati is. Basically, this is Journey in Cincinnati without the currents.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if maybe that's because, I'm thinking that's probably because they feel it's going to hurt Q100 if they add anything more recent than 2001.
Right, and I guess that's logical to a point. So, do you see this station having any staying power?
It depends on what they do with it. If Cumulus is going to do what they've been doing with their stations all along and pipe in a syndicated morning show and then automated the rest of the day, no, I don't see this thing sticking around very long. Because B98.5, they have the longevity, they have the heritage behind them, and they've got people. They're a personality radio station. Same with Star 94, Rick and Cindy, or Ray and Cindy, the morning show there. I mean, it's a very, Star 94 is a very personality-driven radio station. If this new Journey expects to compete with them efficiently, they've got to add the people. And that's something that Lou Dickey, who runs Cumulus, he's kind of lost that idea. It's kind of gone out of his head. I think it left with one of his gray hairs when he had it cut off. Because lately he's been running his stations very, very poorly in terms of personality-driven radio. He's cut those stations so dry, you'd think they were a chicken bone. It's really pathetic.
Mm. And of course, it doesn't help that this station doesn't have the signal strength as their competition.
No, it's a translator. It's a 250-watt translator.
Right. And so that's nothing compared to the powerhouse signal of 98.5. So I have to wonder just where this will go and how successful it will be. Of course, time will tell. It's far too early to answer those questions at the moment. But yes, a new journey for the people of Atlanta. And I just have to wonder where that journey will end. And
yeah,
when, will it end?
I think it's going to end sooner than later.
Perhaps.
I really do. The jingles are nice,
mm-hmm.
but that's about the only good thing going for it, I think.
Well, that's better than nothing.
Yeah, it is better than nothing. you have to wonder. So we'll travel now, Jake, from Atlanta, Georgia, to Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Where it was announced late Friday evening. It would be yesterday evening as we're taping this on Saturday, that Cox Media will be pulling the plug on 106.9 The Zone, the classic alternative format. Now, Jake, if you'll remember, on the second edition of this program, which was on November 14th, The Zone debuted.
I do remember that. And anybody that doesn't can always go to the archive and listen for themselves.
That's right, because we monitored them. It was actually a very well done station. I will tell you that I've listened several times while doing various activities, and it was a good listen. It was a really good listen. Well, apparently, as of Monday, we won't be listening because Cox has decided to simulcast 107.5 The Eagle, which is its classic rock radio station, on the 106.9 frequency. Now, they already knew that this was going to give them some backlash because the Facebook page has been pulled, apparently because of some really bad comments that came out after the announcement, some comments that weren't very positive about this change. Cox knew that they had a new, brilliant idea. It was catching on. Cox didn't do this because of ratings failure or a lack of. They did it so they could. They're doing it so they can strengthen the Eagle. I get that. I understand that. But I have to question. If it's really worth throwing away that the new audience that you're starting to build. You get them hyped up on the station for 7 months. And then you pull it out from under their feet. You know, Cox, generally, I don't have too many bad things to say about Cox. This is an exception. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. This is almost as bad as the catastrophe with CBS and Blink 102. This is just as bad as New York Chill. This is as bad as Snap 107.3 in nearby Rochester. This idea that you can put a format on, and then in 5, 6, 7, 8 months, if it doesn't succeed, we'll just pull the plug because people aren't. The reason people aren't listening is because one, most of these formats were not promoted. Two, some of them landed on an inferior signal. That has something to do. Mainly, though, it's a lack of promotion. I'm not going to mince words about this. These formats, these experimental formats, which are, for the most part, afterthoughts, they aren't promoted outside the radio station. So the only way you're going to find the radio station is if you stumble across it accidentally or if a friend tells you about it. In the case of The Zone, it was also automated, all automated. There were no personalities in the 7 months that it existed, so that's a strike against the station. I mean, for goodness sake, are you trying to build a radio station, or are you purposely trying to just let it linger there? I don't know. I have to question this idea of this short-lived time span. I have to question the idea that 5 to 8 months is a good time frame to know if a format is successful. I don't think that's accurate. I think that's bull. If you're going to do a format, especially an experimental format, you need to stick with it, because it's not like a mainstream format where people will listen to it and build on it right away. And these companies don't understand that.
No, clearly they don't. And I've seen similar remarks on various message boards whenever a format was pulled after a short time period, in some cases over a year. And many people would have felt that that was not enough time to give a format enough traction to take hold and take root. And obviously, it was catching on. I mean, if the listener outrage has been as strong as you say, and I have no reason to suggest that it isn't, then obviously it was catching on, despite the fact that it was an all-automated presentation. Obviously, there were a lot of people in the Houston metro that were fans of classic alternative music and were really starting to enjoy this format. I agree with you. I think that 7 months is pathetic. You can't expect something like this to garner huge ratings overnight. And unfortunately, when it comes right down to it, what it's all about with these corporations, as anybody listening would know, is it's all about money and ratings. And they honestly felt that they could sacrifice this format to strengthen their classic rock format. I really agree with you. I think that they made a mistake, and it really is sad that it's really all about the almighty dollar and what will garner more ratings inevitably, and they just really didn't give this format enough time. I agree with you. What also really makes me angry here in this case is that they felt the need to censor the complaints and comments of the former Zone listeners. I don't think that was called for. I'm sorry that they can't handle the fact that people are complaining, that people are protesting, but last I knew, we had freedom of speech in this country still, and the freedom to post our grievances, even if a corporation did not agree with them. And I think that the feeling of the need to censor this only hurts them even more, not helps them.
Right, because and obviously, if you're Jake, if you're getting criticism for pulling the format, then that means that the format had people listening to it that actually enjoyed it.
Exactly.
It means you, in somebody's eyes, you were doing something right.
That's right. And now, I mean, that these listeners are probably so disenfranchised that even if the format were to return, I don't think they would return.
No, not unless it were done by another company. And I've looked at the Houston ownership logs. I don't think there's a company that would take a chance on that. You've got Clear Channel. You don't have CBS in that market. You've mainly got Clear Channel, Cox, and a bunch of Spanish operators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, it's unlikely that the format will resurface anywhere anytime soon, and that really is sad. But again, it just really also annoys me that they felt the need to censor this, censor the comments of the listeners. That was totally uncalled for.
Yeah, you're right.
So. And that's also sad to see a classic alternative format disappearing. I'm not really into modern alternative music, but I certainly do enjoy listening to vintage alternative, especially 80s, new wave. So one less outlet for some halfway decent music, at least in my opinion.
You know, there really aren't a lot of stations doing that format. And Lance Venta over at RadioInsight.com predicted that the classic alternative format will be the classic rock format of the future.
And may very well be.
That is a very interesting insight.
I mean, as time progresses, of course, people age, and so, I mean, look at me, I'm 30, and I remember when alternative music was catching on in the early 90s. That was almost 20 years ago now. So it's not inconceivable to see, certainly within the next decade or further into the future, that you will see classic rock stations shying away from Led Zeppelin and favoring Nirvana or Pearl Jam, perhaps.
That will be so weird.
Well, aren't you already starting to see that, though? I mean, I've heard some...
Yeah, you know, I've heard, like, Nirvana, and, like, I was even listening to the classic rock station in San Francisco, The Bone, and I heard Three Doors Down, Kryptonite. And I'm thinking, what is that doing on a classic rock station?
Right, because that's not that old.
That's not that old. Like, okay, that doesn't belong there.
No.
Oh my goodness.
But no, I think you could, and you will, start seeing that, just like you're starting to see stations adopting a 90s format, as if those tunes suddenly now are oldies. And in the industry, in this industry, in a way, they are.
They are, you know, but I think the only stations that I've seen that are doing classic alternative, now there might be more, but there's The Drive in Kingston, which is, I mean, these stations, they mix classic alternative with a little bit of newer rock. There's The Drive in Kingston, CKLC-FM, and then there is what they call Modern Rock 98.7 WGLD in Wilmington, North Carolina. Those are the only two that I know of right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there are others, certainly feel free to point them out to us at radionewsnow@ymail.com or get a hold of us through our Radio Jocks or Jaiku pages. You're listening to Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. We're going to take a short break and regroup, and we will be back with even more radio discussion. So, as they say in the radio business, stay tuned.
Clearing the Static. ClearingTheStatic.Tripod.com. We cover both sides of the border, the U.S. and Canada, because when it comes to talking about radio, we are numero uno. Although we never did pass our French exam. This is Clearing the Static. ClearingTheStatic.Tripod.com.
Welcome back to Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio, archived online at clearingthestatic.tripod.com, clearingthestatic.tripod.com. You can send us email at radionewsnow@ymail.com, radionewsnow@ymail.com. Find us on Jaiku. We're at clearingthestatic.jaiku.com, clearingthestatic.jaiku.com. And friend us on our social networking page at Radio Jocks, social networking for the radio community. We're at radiojocks.com/profile/clearingthestatic, radiojox.com/profile/clearingthestatic. The Radio Kid here along with Jake Longwell, and some interesting items concerning HD radio. Some people are still asking, what is it? turns out that Ibiquity is holding a contest.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Jake, if you know any good creative sales reps, they might be interested in this. They could win $5,000 cash.
Wow. Well, I'm already interested. What's what's the catch? What's the pitch?
All they have to do, okay, it's as easy as pie. All they have to do is create a commercial, a really good commercial, to air on an HD2 or HD3 subchannel.
I see. Interesting.
Now that you hear what it is, you know what a challenging task it is.
Yes.
folks, the reality is that Ibiquity, first of all, Ibiquity won't give up the ghost. They will not give up the ghost. Obviously, they've invested so much into this lousy project. But here's the reality of it. Most of the HD2 and HD3 channels do not air commercials.
Correct.
They will not run commercials. They either won't or they can't, because some of them are fed by an out-of-town source. Some of them are fed by a server in a computer closet in some other city that is pumping the same format to all of the HD2 or HD3 stations, such as the oldies stations, the real oldies stations owned by CBS in Dallas and Los Angeles. Others are actually fed via a satellite. So you really don't, I mean, and some of them are just programmed on a looping playlist.
Right.
So really, it's going to be very difficult.
Yes, I mean, it certainly is not impossible to run ads on HD, and in fact, it's perfectly legal to do so now.
Yes, it is.
But a lot of stations, I think, and a lot of companies are still trying to use one of the selling points for buying HD radio is no commercials.
No commercials.
And I think that some people would like to keep it that way for the foreseeable future. Plus, I just don't know how many advertisers are willing to invest their ad dollars in HD, considering, frankly, how lousy it appears to be performing.
It's like that whole thing, if a tree falls in the forest
and no one's there
to hear it, make a sound. Well, if an ad runs on an HD station and no one's got HD, does it really matter? Look, the whole thing is, and I've said this before, okay?
And you'll say it again.
I'll gladly say it again. Bob Struble and the Ubiquiti Company, they're acting like little children. Okay? They're like little bratty children. You know? No, we're going to get... Okay, we're so desperate. I'm a little desperate five-year-old. I'm so desperate, I want to get out and play. Oh, I'm gonna give somebody $5,000 cash to, you know, create an ad for my lousy, pathetic project. That's kind of like a kid saying, hey, buddy, I'll give you $20 to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what that is.
Yeah, that's clearly what it sounds like to me.
You know, they are so convinced in their little minds that HD, that this is one day, the magic little switch is going to catch on and people are going to flock to buy these HD radios, so advertisers, you better get on the bandwagon. Let me tell you something, Mr. Bob Struble of Ubiquiti. Not only did somebody turn off the switch, they took the switch out of the socket and then short-circuited the wiring. Okay? HD radio doesn't have a snowball chance in hell.
Well, that's just one man's opinion, some would say.
Yeah, but it's the truth. You look at this. I mean, unless there are some serious upgrades made, no one's going to want to buy this. And I think advertisers are quite smart to know that. Now, here's the lunacy of this. Okay, I'm going to go down the prize list. The first place prize is $5,000 cash. The second place prize is $300 cash. The third place winner, if you come in third the nerd, here's what you get. You get a full home and car HD upgrade.
Oh, wow.
With HD radio. Now,
I hope I get third place.
Yeah, right. Oh, I want to get third place, so I can... I don't know why anybody would want third place, but unless you're a sales executive who's also a really techie engineer person, can you imagine getting a gift that you're ungrateful for? Well, yeah, I think everyone's been in that predicament.
Yes.
You know, like, that's kind of how it would be. Like, oh, I've got this... Great, they've upgraded my radio, and now it doesn't work. Great.
Right. I can't hear anything.
Right.
I can't hear the signals that I'm supposed to be hearing.
Right. You know, and, oh, you know. Well, but that's the thing, though. And here's something else that Tom Taylor, in his Taylor on Radio Info magazine, brought up. is that the ads for HD radio that are promoting HD radio is promoted very blandly, because the ads are produced nationally. So you get all these choices and, new channels, new stations, all this great new variety. All right. Couple of points on this one. Let's go local here for a minute. In Syracuse, if I were to buy an HD radio in Syracuse, you know how many new options I will get? I'm doing the math here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 8. I will have 8 new stations. Now, that's with HD2 and HD3 combined. That's not a lot.
Now, some would say, well, that's 8 that you didn't have before.
Okay, all right. We'll go with that.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
That's fine. We'll go with that. Now, here's something else they brought up. And actually, I went back and I listened to some of the old HD radio ads, and they're absolutely right. These ads don't give people an incentive. Now, Jake, think about this. When you see ads for DirecTV or Dish or cable, what do they tell you? Do they tell you, well, with our cable package, you'll get 300 channels of entertainment? Or do they tell you, well, with our new package, you'll get, we carry 5 great sports channels, and with this package, we carry, 10 movie channels and this and that?
Usually a combination of both. I mean, I've heard specific numbers of channels mentioned in ads for satellite and cable, but you're right. They do tend to emphasize, you get all kinds of channels for movies, music, family programming, sports, and much, much more.
Right. And someone pointed out, it was either Tom Taylor or someone on one of the boards, that HD radio is doing the same kind of faulty thing that satellite radio is doing and just being very general about it. It's like trying to give the audience the bigger number and give them all the stuff that they might not be happy with, instead of giving them the smaller number of something they would be happy with. But the problem with HD radio is that the brain geniuses who create these ads create them nationally, so you can't go on on a commercial and say, if you buy an HD radio, you'll get 2 Spanish channels and, 3 oldies channels and 1 really unique, obscure jazz channel. You can't do that. Because what works, what's on in Washington, D.C., where these ads are produced, isn't what's on in Denver and vice versa. So, since they're not producing these commercials locally, they're not able to tell the public exactly what they're going to get if they buy an HD radio. So really, since the public doesn't know, there really isn't the incentive.
Right. And now some people could say, well, they can always go on the websites. You can go on the company's websites and look up what's available. And that's true. That's true. I mean, the information is out there. It's not like it's hidden. But who is going to do that?
Yeah.
Who is seriously going to do that? Most people don't have time to do such a thing. So, no, and I agree with you. The ads are very generic. Even when National Public Radio stations started broadcasting in HD, and I know this from firsthand because I read some of these ads, if you want to call them that, or liners, or whatever you might want to call them, because I do, full disclosure, I do volunteer for a public radio station in this area, and the ads were almost word for word exactly the same as heard on other NPR stations that I heard from my own monitoring, with some slight variation. Our call letters were inserted, for instance, as opposed to just a generic, your local public radio station.
But it wasn't like they said, which you can edit this out if you want, but it wasn't like they said, oh, Well, buy an HD radio and hear the best new music on Exponential HD2. And for more extended news and commentary, please turn to our HD3 channel.
Exactly. Exactly. It was just, you know, you've heard all the buzz about HD radio. Well, with HD radio, there's no buzz, no hiss, no pops, no static. I can't believe I remember that almost word for word, and
oh
I recorded that like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Or something?
And yes, Mr. HD Adman, we have heard the buzz. The buzz that we get when we tune around on analog because of your crappy system.
That's right. So, the best ad on an HD subchannel, that...
Yes, so it can be for a business. It has to be for a business, an advertising business. And it can either be HD and, like, solely on an HD2 or HD3 channel, or on an HD2, involving an HD2 channel that drives traffic to a website.
I see. Now, I wonder if this can, if this would count if it were on an HD channel that's feeding an analog translator.
Doesn't count.
Now, see, I don't think that's right.
Analog cannot be part of the equation.
Because those would be the ones that would be most likely to actually be heard.
Right.
For one thing. Well, that figures.
Well, think about this. Mr. Bob's Trouble Cruel Rule thinks that it defeats the purpose.
Well, if that's the case, then they should have fought hard to keep HD signals off of analog translators.
Right.
So I don't really have any. I don't really have any sympathy for him in that department.
No, I don't either. I have zero sympathy. You know, first of all, I think it's never going to happen. But I think they should just give up this whole HD thing and just turn it off and go home.
I mean, it's hard to say. Some people have said that eventually it will fall by the wayside. It will go the way of AM stereo. Which, you know, you, Radio Kid, might be too young to remember that, but certainly back in the 80s, a lot of stations were trying to broadcast in stereo on AM. The problem was you had to buy special radios that could receive the stereo signal. And it still does exist. There are still stations that use the technology. The technology isn't dead, per se, but it might as well be.
Right.
And, you know, could the same thing happen for HD? I don't know.
I'm going to make this public right now. If it does, if we ever get a press release that basically says, you know, HD is dead and there are only, like, I don't know, a handful of stations using the technology, I'm going to come down to Geneva Community Radio and we will have a funeral/party for HD radio on clearing the static.
Okay.
I will have a neighbor who lives here bake cupcakes, and it will have cupcakes, and we in the beginning we can have a fake casket, and then when we move the casket away we can have a little party with cupcakes and cookies and all kinds of wonderful things.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Mark that on your calendars. The day HD radio dies, we're having a party.
Yep. And we should even, you know, do that live.
No. Yes, we should.
Don't bother pre-recording.
No. We're gonna do that live.
Yes, we do have the capability to do live programming here. We just haven't done it yet.
No, only once in a while. I think we did our first test show live.
Yes.
And it's too bad we never did record that.
You know, I know. I should have thought to record.
Never did. Well, we were so anxious to test the station, and because we weren't even sure we were going to do the, we just started talking. You know, you were testing the station, and we just started talking, and it's just like, okay, you know what? While we're on the air, let's just do the radio podcast we always talked about doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's kind of how this whole thing took off.
Yeah, and. It's, you know, things have not been the same since.
No, they haven't. The radio industry trembles in fear every Sunday at 8 p.m. when we come on.
At least that's what we'd like to think.
Yeah, yes, I know, right? Is it time to break the segment?
It is.
All right, so you're listening to Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio, and you know, we've been joking about the radio industry trembling in fear, and sometimes, you know, on this program, we've always said it, on this program, sometimes we feel the radio industry needs a swift kick where the sun doesn't shine, and for the folks at HD Radio, we're going to give them one. We'll be right back. This is Clearing the Static.
Because sometimes the radio industry needs a kick in the pants. This is Clearing the Static. ClearingTheStatic.tripod.com.
Yes, we do try to give the occasional kick in the pants where needed. We don't know what good it does, but we try nonetheless.
That's right.
This is Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. Thank you so much for spending this hour with us on a Sunday evening or whenever you may be listening via our archive.
Yes.
All right. So, Radio Kid, you had some other issues that you wanted to discuss, mainly concerning, in a roundabout way, the world of shortwave radio.
Yes. First, I think we should give an update on the whereabouts and developments of Mr. Harold Camping.
Yes.
If you remember, we did an exclusive program on him.
That's right.
Yeah, what a program. got a lot of feedback about that one. Since his May 21st prediction failed to come true, there, I guess apparently from news reports from the Christian Post, there were many angry former followers, and they made themselves very clear that they were former followers on Family Radio. Obviously, Harold Camping did not give them a lot of time to speak on his open forum.
So much for it being an open forum.
Yeah, so much for being an open forum, you're right. And this happened up until June 9th. And on the evening of June 9th, after his open forum program, Mr. Harold Camping suffered a stroke. Apparently, the stroke affected the right side of his brain. His speech is severely impacted. His words are extremely slurred and very difficult to understand, this according to press reports. However, Family Radio contends that he is receiving quote-unquote excellent care, and doctors are pleased with the progress he's making. In place of him being live, they are running very, very old open forum broadcasts with a disclaimer that the teachings that Mr. Camping held during those old broadcasts may not be the same teachings that he currently holds at this time. In my opinion, it's best that Harold Camping should have stuck to the teachings that he previously held before he started eating his loony cereal. Another development is that a Bible website has offered to buy all 66 of his radio stations for $1 million.
Hmm.
That's $1 million for the whole lot of his radio stations. You can find out more about them and why they're doing this on their website. It's abibleanswer.org.
Interesting.
And they are making the claim that they are paying more than what those stations are worth, since they will be worth nothing come October. I believe that the 94.7 facility in New York alone could fetch more than $1 million.
Yes, I was just thinking that. Several of their stations in urban areas, and Family Radio, as we've discussed before, was fortunate that they got in on the ground floor of some of these FM allocations decades ago in urban areas, and so they were able to secure facilities in New York, Philadelphia, at one point, San Francisco, San Diego at one point. Those latter two have been relegated since to AM, but they also have stations in other smaller but still very much urban cities throughout the country. They have one in the Chicago area, actually, now that I think about it. among many others. And certainly these urban properties alone, even with the deflated price of radio stations these days, is worth more than $1 million. So I would agree that the whole network would be worth way more than that.
Yes, and that's why I don't think Herald Camping is taking that offer. We have reached out to the administration of abibleanswer.org for an interview, and so far they have not responded to our requests.
Okay, well, at least we tried, and we'll continue trying, because I would love to get their say and their take on this. And certainly, in spite of the fact that we may not agree with Mr. Camping's teachings, we do wish him, or at least I do wish him, a successful recovery from
so do I.
From his
so
stroke.
Do I. And the other thing I'd like to say quickly, and I know this is not a religious program, but again, I see Christians acting in a way that they should not be acting, and I'd like to call them out on it. A special note is the Reformed Church, the Reformed Christian Church. This is the church that Harold Camping used to be a member of before 1988, when Mr. Camping started to believe that all churches were apostate. The Reformed Christian Church on their website says, and I quote, "Let us rejoice in the suffering of Mr. Harold Camping. Let us pray that God will continue to bring suffering and punishment upon him. This stroke is a blessing. Let us rejoice in it."
That's terrible.
The ReformedChristianChurch.org, if you wish to see that for yourself.
That's terrible. There's no cause or excuse for that.
Yeah, exactly. So shame on you, Reformed Christian Church. Just another excuse to make Christians look like terrible people, at least from where I'm sitting.
Onward now to other news, rather startling news.
Yeah, very startling.
And I'll let the radio kid tell you about this, because he's the one that originally suggested we talk about this on the program.
Well, one of our sister DX programs, World of Radio, has been pulled off of shortwave radio station WWCR. WWCR is licensed to Nashville, Tennessee?
Correct.
It's one of the older shortwave radio stations, and Mr. Hauser's DX program, World of Radio, has been on that radio station for many, many years. And as of June 10th, Mr. Hauser received word that he was no longer on that station. His program was canceled, apparently about something he said about Mr. Gene Scott.
Yes. He, and I'm not exactly sure if this was said in print or if this was said on an actual program. I'd be curious to learn that. Certainly, I could do some research to determine that, I'm sure. But he did criticize, and he's criticized, and rightfully so, many of these evangelists and preachers. He stated his opinions, and I'd always applauded stations like WWCR, which, yes, they're a brokered station, and they naturally would want to satisfy their clients, but they were always willing to let other views be heard to an extent. In fact, I remember I had the fortunate opportunity to tour WWCR in the summer of 92, and the then program director at the time, Adam Locke, said that they prided themselves on the fact that even though their mainstay will always be Christian programming, that they are willing to let other views and other programs be heard because they want to cater to a diverse audience. So I always applauded them for airing this program, especially because it was not a paid program. They aired it when they could. But now it seems that they're not open to people criticizing the programs and organizations that the radio station feels have done much to ensure their success. Now, for those not aware, in April of 1993, WWCR was destroyed by fire. still of undetermined origin, completely destroyed the station's transmitters and equipment. They had to completely rebuild, and I did not know this. I did not know this until Glenn Hauser had brought it up on his most recent program. Apparently, Gene Scott gave them a lot of the money that they needed to rebuild.
Yeah, that's, I had heard that too. Now, do we know, because I haven't heard, do we know what exactly Glenn Hauser said that WWCR apparently didn't like?
We don't, or at least I don't, and I'd really like to know that myself.
I would too, because I went through the programs, and I didn't find any. I went through the most recent program, well, not this past one, but the one before it, which would have been, you know, a station like WWCR obviously would have pulled it immediately upon hearing it. There was nothing in the
The previous show.
June 9th program.
Right.
That assessed as such. So I don't know what exactly went down. I don't know what was said.
And it might have been something in print, too.
Right.
It's hard to say, or it could have been something that was said a while ago, and now they're only getting wind of it. I don't know, but I think this is very unfortunate.
Yes.
To say
yes.
The least.
You said you had wanted to...
Well, yes, I think that this was uncalled for, and it seems that their policy has changed. Because apparently they're not willing to allow broadcasters to say things that are critical of the evangelist programming, or at least certain evangelical programs that originate on the station.
Right, right. And it's, you know, I don't know. If Gene Scott really helped them build that much, you know, I don't know. I understand, but yet I don't. I mean, I agree with you, but then again, I don't.
Okay, well, let's hear your side of it then.
All right, I'm going to take this argument in a different angle.
Okay.
All right. Suppose... I don't know. Suppose a public radio station, and any radio station you like, started allowing programming that basically said really critical things about public radio donors. I don't know. Public radio, people who donate to public radio are, you know, rich, snotty, upscale people. Okay? You know, obviously, you know, no station would go for that. No station would go for, having a program talk badly about the main source of financial contribution. In the case of Gene Scott, if he's really buying all this time...
Well, actually, he's not, because he's dead, remember.
Well, he's dead, but his agency is.
Right, that's true.
His agency is. And his daughter, wife, or
wife,
you know, if the Gene Scott organization is buying all this time, and here's a program that's criticizing him, if your main donor gets wind of that, they might not buy all that time anymore.
That's true, because they do and have for decades leased out a single transmitter of that station. That transmitter is devoted exclusively to their programming.
Right.
So, I suppose I can see it from your perspective, but at the same time, I just feel like, again, we're essentially looking at censorship based on, you know, fear of losing money or fear of repercussions. And again, you know, where's freedom of speech? Where's
right.
The First Amendment here?
Right. It wasn't something that, you know, if WWCR really felt that was uncalled for, I think before canceling the program, I think they should have at least spoken to Mr. Hauser and tried to have come to some sort of consensus.
Yes. Although certainly this was not the first time that something like this happened. And I've always had suspicions about this. Many years ago, actually in 93, the same year that WWCR was destroyed by fire, World of Radio was canceled off of its original shortwave affiliate, WRNO, in New Orleans, that had been part of the station for 11 years. And it was around that time that WRNO began airing more neo-Nazi and hate programming, particularly the program from Ernst Zundel, who is the main proponent of the Holocaust being a hoax. And Glenn Hauser certainly didn't mince words that he disagreed with WRNO broadcasting this kind of programming. Also, programs like program producers, providers like Brother Stair were investing more time and buying more time on WRNO. And now all of a sudden, in April of 93, I believe, or certainly around the same time as WWCR's unfortunate destruction, the program was pulled. Mr. Hauser received a notification from Joe Costello, the owner, that they no longer had room in the schedule for World of Radio. And that, at the time, seemed to everyone to be a falsehood, because there still were open times on the station. And everyone suspected, including myself, that there were reasons not stated for why the show was pulled. Do I think it was because Glenn was highly critical of some of the extreme programming on the station? Yes, I do.
Yes.
I do think that that had a lot to do with it. So, yet again, sure, it's almost like a deja vu all over again, unfortunately.
And that's, you know, I think, I honestly, somehow, though, I don't think we're going to hear the end of this.
You don't think so?
No, I really don't. I mean, I think Glenn's going to let it go, because, I mean, that's just the kind of person he is. Okay, you don't want to air a program. But I wouldn't be surprised if there is some kind of backlash from shortwave DXers and listeners to WWCR because they've carried that program for so long.
Absolutely. And honestly, I hope that is the case. I hope that is the case, and I hope maybe they will feel pressured into returning the program to the station. But time will tell what happens with that. But he is still on shortwave. He's still on WBCQ, WWRB, and WRMI. I would hope that maybe other shortwave stations would consider picking up the program. Why not this new station in Nashville, WTWW? I mean, come on, George McClintock. Certainly you can find a half hour in your schedule for the show.
I think he's supposed to be on Transmitter 2.
Really?
When that gets up and running.
Okay, I did not hear that.
Which, actually, did you hear what Transmitter 3 is doing?
Yes, Bible readings in various languages.
Yes.
Hmm.
Interesting idea.
Yes, it is. So we'll see what happens with those developments in shortwave. Unfortunately, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the program.
Interesting. Well, you've been listening to Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. You can hear us again next week and archived online. So remember, all you radio geeks and geekazoids, video didn't kill the radio star. You just don't see him because he's busy eating a hot dog at the state fair.
You can write to Clearing the Static. You can send email to radionewsnow@ymail.com. For more information about our program, including when and where to hear the show, plus our program archive, please visit our website at clearingthestatic.tripod.com. Get breaking news, program updates, and so much more on our JQ page at clearingthestatic.jq.com. You can find our blog, polls, and fun things to do on our social network page on radiojocks.com/profile/clearingthestatic. Clearing the Static is a presentation of Geneva Community Radio, which is solely responsible for its content.